I know you may find this hard to believe, but I am a regular source of annoyance for my wife and daughter. For, among other things, my habit of yelling at the TV news. I'm sure I'm the only one that does that. But there's one particular type of story that always demands that I express myself. And that type story is the airplane crash story. Now, fortunately, these don't happen too often, but you're familiar with them. And the news always employs that airplane crash story as the teaser before the commercial break. And they go, "When we come back, we will ask why an airplane crashed into a cornfield in Iowa." And after they say this, I am compelled to explain to the TV very calmly and very rationally that I already know what caused that plane to crash. It's simple. It was gravity. It's always gravity. That mysterious black box may tell the investigators that, oh, a wing fell off, or the engine exploded, or the pilot was texting his wife. But those are all secondary. An airplane in flight is at war with gravity. And the airplane fights to stay in the air while gravity is fighting to pull it towards the earth. One hiccup, and gravity always, always triumphs. Now, I do have a firm understanding of physics, but I will always argue that flying is a miracle. The old comedians back in the day used to say that in life there are two certainties, death and taxes. And I guess that was funny at some time. It's not that funny today. But these are not the only certainties in life. There's also the certainty of gravity. Gravity is a constant. Gravity never changes. Gravity is always present. And gravity is not funny. Those comedians who were seeking a laugh out of their audiences, they also knew to steer away from the subject of gravity. Why? It just brings people down. Our reading for today is from the book of Amos, and it begins with a discussion of gravity. Sort of. In this passage, the prophet Amos describes God as standing next to a wall. This would have been a stone wall. And this wall is described as having been built with the use of a plumb line. And that detail indicates that the wall was built carefully. It wasn't just thrown up in haste, but this wall is perfectly perpendicular to the ground. It's not leaning to one side or the other. It is a good wall. God is standing there next to that good wall, and God is holding this plumb line. And God asked Amos, what do you see? And Amos, not one to let the obvious just pass him by, he answers, I see a plumb line. Now, a plumb line itself, it's not complicated. It's just a weight on a string. It's an ancient tool that is used even today by builders and masons. It's used in the construction of things that are vertical, walls and buildings. We call it a plumb line or a plumb bob because the weight was often made of lead. And the Latin word for lead is plumbum, which is the same word from which we get plumber, because in the Roman days, pipes were made from lead. The book of Amos is found towards the back of the Old Testament, and it is part of a section of 12 books that we call the Minor Prophets. They are minor only because the books themselves are short and they are grouped together. Amos' message, however, it's anything but minor. What he says is as powerful and as hard-hitting as anything that you will find in Scripture. Amos lived in the 8th century BC, and what we know about Amos is that he was not a professional prophet. He started out in life as a shepherd and a farmer, and he lived in the southern kingdom of Judah. But somewhere along the line, God came to Amos, and God called Amos to go and preach to the northern kingdom of Israel. And Amos follows God's call, and he travels up to Israel, and in Israel, he delivers a series of powerful and pointed critiques against Israel's social, political, religious structures and institutions. Amos focuses on the social inequities that allow the wealthy of Israel to live in luxury while the poor are withering away. Amos writes these words, "Alas, for those who lie on beds of ivory and who drink wine from bowls and who anoint themselves with the finest oils." Amos addresses the people's religious life, and he's critical, highly critical of worship that fails to promote justice and righteousness. Amos condemns those who have, quote, turned justice into poison. Those are great words. Turn justice into poison. According to Amos, God has always called for equity and equality among his people. But now, in Israel, a few people have become rich at the expense of the increasing number of poor. Some would say that the equality gap is widening. Amos addresses this problem over and over through this book. Earlier in chapter 5, he says these words, "They hate the one who calls for justice. They abhor the one that speaks the truth. And as a result, you trample on the poor. You snatch from them their necessary grain for living. You build houses of fancy stones. You have afflicted the righteous. You've taken bribes. You've shoved aside the needy in the marketplace." And all of this can be condensed into those wonderful words of Amos that we know so well, where Amos writes, "Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." For Amos, justice and righteousness are to be preferred over any fancy worship or grand ostentatious offerings or wonderful songs. Living a righteous life, that is the greatest form of worship. Now, after Amos identifies that plumb line that God is holding in God's hand, God speaks to Amos, and this is the message that God asked Amos to take up to Israel. "Look, I, God, I am holding a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Israel, they will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." This prophecy of Amos is that God will judge Israel. And in our reading, Amos warns that God is going to take that plumb line that he's holding and he's going to set it right in the midst of the people of Israel. And just as a mason uses a plumb to determine if a wall is vertical, God's going to use that line to measure the uprightness of God's people. And if the people are found to be out of plumb, they will then face God's judgment. Their temples and their shrines will be destroyed, and God will rise up against the land with a sword. And all of this leads to one question, a question that Amos forces us to ask ourselves. And that question is this: what is our plumb line? A plumb line keeps the things that you are building in right relation with the world around it, perpendicular to the constant pull of gravity. A plumb line ensures that any wall or column is undeniably vertical. Imagine that your life is represented by a wall that you are building brick by brick, and you have full control over where each brick will be set. What are you using as your plumb line? Different people have different plumb lines. Some measure their lives with wealth, others with power, others with fame. Some people ask, am I important, or will I be remembered, or am I happy? That's their plumb line. That's how they choose to align themselves. For the prophet Amos, the only plumb line was justice and a belief in the Lord. He preached that this is how the people are to measure their lives. Are they properly aligned with God's call for justice and righteousness and equality? As people of God, our plumb line is the Word of God. It's the Scriptures. It's the commandments, the words of the prophets such as Amos and Isaiah and others. Do we follow these commandments? Are we working for justice and righteousness, for compassion and forgiveness? Do we love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves? Do we seek to build a right relationship with our God and with our neighbor? When I was in college, there were a lot of students who weren't quite sure what they wanted to do in life. And that was fine. We were young. But there were also those who came to school with a good idea of the field that they wished to pursue. And these were future doctors and teachers and lawyers and accountants. They were also artists and musicians and more. But there was one guy in our class who made it clear to everyone, students and faculty, that his singular goal was to possess $1 million by the time he hit the age of 30. Now, I didn't know this guy well, and I never asked how he planned to accomplish that goal. But even at the time, my rather shallow college-age self recognized the emptiness of this plan. I have no idea what happened to this person. I don't know if he made his money or not. And if he did, was it enough? And did it satisfy him? And, well, what happened when he hit 31? Was his life over because he had reached that goal? But the picture that I have that stuck with me all those years is of this person whose plumb line is the accumulation of wealth. And everything that he does, every brick in his wall, every choice, every decision is calculated against that line. Maybe he did end up with a great shiny wall of wealth. But how many people did he hurt to get there? How many relationships were lost? How many lives were shattered? What was the toll of suffering along the way? Maybe he didn't care. That wasn't his line. As people of faith, we recognized that God is the constant in our lives. God is our gravity. The German theologian Paul Tillich labeled God the ground of being. Our plumb lines they should point directly to God. As Christians, we value the ministry of Amos. But our faith, it calls us further. Our faith leads us to Jesus Christ, who is our example in living and in service. Christ is our plumb line. Remember the words that he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." For us, Christ is how we measure what is loving and compassionate and just. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Live in love as Christ loved us." That is a definition of a plumb line. Before I finish today, I would like to give you some homework. I don't do this often, but I do ask that this afternoon when you get home, I would like for you to take a moment and make a list of the plumb lines in your life. Yes, we have more than one. What do you use to measure who you are and who you want to be? And be honest, this list is just for you. Don't just put down Jesus and include everything. Include those things that maybe even you aren't so proud of. And then evaluate the list and use it to develop a new plumb line for yourself, a line that will make you right with God. Amen.